You're rich.
Yeah. First things first, I use a bit of an older translation. So if you have a Bible in front of you or someone else you can borrow from, I highly suggest you read along. I use a 1611 King James translation. So if you have some, if you have a Bible you can borrow or read along with, please do. So there was a recently discovered planet that is about 10 times the mass of Earth. And it's 10 times as hospitable. But as such, it has 10 times the gravity. And in order for it to have any kind of space travel, you would need fuel on the order of the Pyramid of Giza, which is a lot. So, a planet that should be a lot more, that should have a lot more to it, has a lot more requirements. And it's weighed down by its own mass, its own gravity. And essentially, it's trapped by itself. So, my question is, are you trapped by your own gravity? And today, I'm quitting gravity to sin. So, I'm also, sin is two major aspects of sin to me are doubt and ego. So, we look at, I didn't mean to make doubt quite so small. If you can read that.
It's rather appropriate, right?
Yeah. So, let's take a look at doubt first. If you can read that, that's going to be James 1, 5 through 8. Hallelujah, if you get there before me.
Hallelujah.
That's for sure.
Funny part is I was at Hebrews.
It's harder to find it in 1611.
Like he's still looking it up
you
on his
get
computer.
The
old English
yeah, it's an old English, and I've got the Apocrypha I've got to get from too.
We'll read it for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, if anyone has it and they want to read through it. For a little overview, as the two sources of gravity or sin, for doubt, we all have doubt and ego in our walk. So, and by everyone, I do mean everyone, no matter how much of a facade we go through. whether we're first-time believers or pastors or pastors' sons who are preaching for the first time because their dad was out of town for a week.
Yeah. Well, the first part of the sentence sure goes along with what another moment a short while ago and cussing and all. If any of you lacks wisdom, people who cuss a whole lot don't have very much wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberty without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Okay. And kind of part of the reason that I do James 1, 5 through 8 is whenever I read my Bible, I don't necessarily like to do just one verse. I like to do the whole context because this might just be me personally, but I like to read the whole context of the verse because it gives a lot more meaning than just one verse. Mm-hmm. So, like Don was reading, it gives a lot more gravity to the statement. So, kind of going back to the one another moment, doubt can be given to being double-minded. You know, if you're doubting something, if you're doubting your beliefs, if you're doubting, you know, whether or not you should become a Christian, whether or not, you know, what you believe is right, you know, even doubting little things like what you should make your sermon on, whether or not you should include a certain verse, whether or not you should, you know, whether it's something big or something small. There are a lot of
Danny, this past week I struggled with that intensely. The doubt and ego. Okay. The most I've ever drilled with the style of drilling we do is about 600 feet. And the client wanted to go to 800 feet. So the question is, will that style of drilling even go that far? Will I get $20,000 of tooling stuck down in the hole? Will I ruin all of the work that I've done? Am I wanting to drill to 800 feet because of ego? To say that I've drilled the deepest of anybody I know, beyond the way far beyond. So which is it? And the doubt and ego had to come back to just, okay, God, I will load that cotton picking stem on that trailer and we'll take it down there. And please, oh God, just give us the water in the morning so we don't have to drill that deep. But then we did have to because the water wasn't there. And so the whole doubt and ego thing, the doubt is not having faith in God and not having that faith. And so it's like, okay, God, I will be faithful. I will just do it. I'll just put the stem on the trailer. We'll just go down there. I just know you're not going to have me do that. But then, please God, if we do that, I don't want to have the ego of walking around with being able to say that. So doubt and ego, man, it's a real life thing that we deal, all of us deal with in different ways every day. But I was face to face about this past week.
All right, that works. On that note, I guess let's go to Romans 14:23.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin.
And I believe there is another there's another verse that slightly ties into this one. Joel, you had mentioned you were doubting a lot this week, on drilling, from 600 feet to 800 feet. And I don't know, proportionally drilling how much farther down 600 feet to 800 feet is with your equipment.
You put it well to me last night that the guys up at the drilling, like conference and stuff, don't even want to believe he makes 500 feet with that kind of drilling. So that's way down there.
Pretty well, cool. the other part of doubt is fear. I mean, that's part of the foundation of doubt, isn't it? I mean, when we fear something, well, I was fearing that. And I'm reading through Isaiah. What does Isaiah have anything to do with fear? And man, reading your scriptures, and there's one thing that new guys need to do in trying to continue your love affair with God is just be a little bit every day, even if you don't understand it. It doesn't matter. I listen to stuff, and I can't remember anything of the stuff I listen to, and then I'm teaching it in class, and the phrases come back because it's the Holy Spirit that brings it back. Okay, but if there's one thing you can do, just read. And out of Isaiah, how is that going to be in anything that's going to be relevant to my life? And it always is. Read, even if it's just a couple minutes. Man, that's the one thing that will rock and roll your life with God.
Isaiah is one of my favorite, if not the favorite book of mine in the Bible, because it's
you're much more chock- smarter than I am, because I have no clue what I'm reading about most of the time there.
Well, me, it's chock full of God's promises in the Bible.
That's right.
With a kick in the butt if you don't.
Exactly.
And so, that relates to your James 1:5. Because the Lord is saying, if you lack wisdom, ask me, and I'll give it liberally. And that means before you read your Bible, it's like, Lord, I lack wisdom. Give me your Holy Spirit.
Are you still in James?
No.
Look up.
But I can be.
James 14:26.
James, there isn't a 14.
Or,
1:14?
No, John 14:26, I think.
John?
Yeah, John 14:26.
John.
Since we're on the topic.
14:26?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. And that is, these things have but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Woo-hoo! Whosoever I've said it to you, So the Holy Spirit will bring all things to you. I listen to YouTube videos. Where's James? Oh, he's out with the kid. I listen to YouTube videos throughout the week regarding the next Sunday's Sunday school class. And, that's good. I'll never remember that, but thank you. And then in Sunday school class, the Holy Spirit just brings it back. It's unbelievable. Man, I'm shocked.
I think this is the Romans 14:23 is a good scripture because we like to pick out our sins and judge other people's sins. But this really just nails us, because whatever is not from faith is sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So kind of going on your drilling topic on not believing that you would even drill down 500 feet and these things are going to lose with the $20,000 worth of drilling equipment down a hole. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Like losing 20 grand of equipment down a hole.
I'll let you know next week what happened.
Sounds good. And
is he just, in other words, is he just doing it just to see if he can do it and be the thing, or if he's doing it because... Yeah.
And fear was overriding just about anything else.
And, I mean, you know, part of, a lot of when we do things, I think, depends on our motivation for doing it.
Yeah, amen.
You know, if we're doing it just to prove someone else wrong, we've really got to check our motivation for why we're doing what we're doing.
Amen.
You know, are you drilling this hole for the client, or are you drilling that hole for yourself?
Ooh. That was a rhetorical question, Joel.
No, I hear you. And you have no idea how I didn't want to go down that far. And you know what? I'm also praying that we can afford to buy that truck that needs to go underneath the rig. And when I add up the numbers, it's like, are you kidding me, God? This is I'm shocked. And so I was telling Greg about this yesterday, that I don't know what God has in mind. All I have to do is just go out there and be faithful. And then whatever God brings me, if the tools are stuck down in the hole, nothing gets out. Like, thank you, God. I don't know what you got for me, because now I'm basically out of business. But there you go. Let me praise you.
You know, I think about you. I mean, your testimony a month or so ago with your wife, the cancer thing, it's like, I don't care. No matter what he does, I'm gonna praise him. Oh, that testimony is rock, quite rough.
So, anyone want to go to Judges 16:28-30?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Already there.
I'm sure we all kind of know the story of Samson, but quick overview while we're getting there. Samson was promised that he would have strength as long as he grew his hair out long. And long story short, he got it cut, and then prayed one last time that he would have strength and pushed pillars of a temple and crushed himself and Philistines.
Yeah.
And killed a lot of them and himself. And he was prideful up until the end before he finally humbled himself enough to pray and then finally redeemed himself in not necessarily the best way ever, but
he's a final act.
Yeah. You don't want to read it?
Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
28.
Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords of all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life.
You know, what I find fascinating about that passage is not that this was it was strengthen me, I pray thee, only this one to a God, that I may be avenged because of my eyeballs that they stole from me. And it was still all about him. And I'm even in his, I mean, but, you know, here's a man that judged the people for 20 years. It's one tiny little verse before this that says that. He was faithful for 20 years. And he still went south. So all of us that think that we've got some degree of strength in the Lord and everything else, man, we have to be careful, because we can end up like this.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to, and everything he did before that, you know, I mean, everything he did before that, and he ends up chained in a temple with no eyes. Bald and ends up like that.
Well, he, in like verse 20, the truth was, though, Samson did what he wanted to do, and he sinned, you know, he ran to that sin with Delilah, and even after he'd been warned. So he really, you know, like you can, thought he was immune to that sin. And
being egotistical.
Yeah. And as he's laying there, you know, he's like, he's thinking that he's going to, it says, so he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him.
There's a message all right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
And he didn't notice that.
He did not know. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's scary.
All right. And as for escaping doubt, let's turn to Matthew 18:3.
Say one thing that we, in all the years, I've never been a place where we all go to the book and read it. I mean, it really helps you get down where to find
it. Yes.
It comes pretty quickly.
When I used to go to a summer camp called Camp Joy, where we would have Bible races where we would race to see who could get there first. Not sure I would win right now. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little, mine's a little complicated for this one. I'm going to let someone else read this.
And I said, verily I say unto you, except ye turn and become a little child, ye shall have no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is not what I usually. This is not the
thing. Essentially, this verse is saying, unless you have faith like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I think a lot of the times we read that verse and we just kind of gloss over it. Okay, have faith like a little kid, whatever. But have any of you ever met a little kid? They ask a lot of questions, right? And they're not necessarily easy questions to answer.
We could bring Brother for demos.
Yeah, I could bring mine in. They ask questions like, Daddy, why is the sky blue? And it's a simple question on the surface, right?
There's a simple answer to that.
Yeah.
You ask your mother.
And I think having faith like a child doesn't mean have faith like a kid, don't ask any questions. It means have faith like a child, ask questions. Ask simple questions.
And believe.
Ask simple questions that you need to look for answers for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's also like when you're a kid and somebody says, why is the sky blue? Well, it's because of the dust and the reflection of light. And oh, cool.
Yeah.
You don't go, wait a minute, prove that to me. I don't know, I'm not sure about it. You got that right. You know, where's the proof? It's faith. You've got to, they just are willing to take it. They don't question it all like we try as adults.
True, but there is also some measure of question for that, too. There is also a measure of questioning in the kid, too. Because, the sky's blue. Well, it's because there's the light and all that. Okay. Why?
Why?
Well, but kind of that goes along with that is that when I first met Mark, he'll tell you, because I questioned him a lot because I was not a believer, and he was. And, you know, and there's this idea that floats around there that and it was pretty prevalent in the university that I went to, that really Christians are ignorant. You just have to have faith, and they believe all kinds of stuff because they don't know any better. But what you realize is that actually the Bible has an astounding amount of scientific answers, and the creation is completely, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. And the answers are, all of the science actually supports God and the Bible. And so in a sense, I almost, when I first became a Christian, I actually had this doubt and this fear that I didn't want to question too much because that was going to lead me back to the scientific answers, and those aren't right. But I think the point that you're making is actually you shouldn't fear any question, because what's here is true. And so the answers are here. And the science, if you really honestly dig into the science without the blind faith of just what the world tells you, the answer always comes back to God and what's in the Bible. And so there is no fear. There should be no fear when people question your Christianity and your belief.
Well, and the Apostle Paul says that we're supposed to learn what the answers are from the Word.
Right.
I mean, he makes it very clear. I mean, we're not supposed to be stupid about this whole thing.
Yeah. And that's kind of the point I'm trying to make, is that part of escaping doubt is by asking questions.
And finding God's answer, because that takes care of your doubt.
Here's a childlike posture that you know in that very first verse. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born again and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So we're still talking about, you know, this is for those that are born again, and like children, young children, we know who our Father is now. We're new creation. So it's like we're on some level the humble part. Therefore, we're humble like a child before our Father. It's like we don't know who our Father is. We're submitted. We're humble. So we may have questions, but it's still, he's making the point that there's still the Father and the child and that process of being born again.
And part of it is knowing who to ask, which brings us to 1 John 4, 1 through 3.
First John, and then 1 John. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sounds like they have a
loose voice. Yeah. So if there's a little bit of confusion, I've got 1 John, and then below that I've got John. So that one we kind of already went through. So 1 John 1 through 3 is, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is it in the world. So, essentially, there are, as we've kind of alluded to throughout one another time and throughout the sermon, there are a lot of teachings in the world. There's a lot of various teachings on YouTube. There's a lot of teachings on the internet. You know, not everything on the internet is true. I know that's shocking. Believe me. But when you ask questions, when you do research, when you are trying to... Are you videoing this?
No.
When you are...
I'm just making you nervous, that's all.
Okay. Thanks. When you are alleviating doubt, question the spirits. And it's a... To question every spirit, whether it be of God or whether it be of the devil, because there are spirits that are of God and spirits that are not. If a spirit confesses that Jesus is of God or whether he is not. And, you know, a lot of that, you know, kind of ties into John 14:26, like we had said before. As believers, we have kind of an inside track, sort of. You know, we have the Holy Spirit will kind of tell us, you know, okay, this is... You're kind of like Joel said, you know, you'll get kind of a, you know, okay, this is
truth.
True. This is a good teaching. This is right. And every now and then, like, you know, I'll be listening to something. I have a favorite spoken word artist, I guess you could call him, called Matty Montgomery. Or, you know, every now and then I'll be listening to a music artist or something. And, you know, you'll get just this feeling of peace or something that will just, you know, calm you right down. Or, you know, you'll hear music artists that'll come on and they'll just make you grind your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just want to turn it off. And that can be one way of discerning whether or not something is true. And sometimes it'll be just blatantly obvious. Like, so sometimes you'll hear something and you will have to research it. You know, every now and then I'll come across an article on the internet and I'll look up stuff in that article in the Bible, or I'll look up stuff in my Bible. And I'll Google it, you know, either way, you know, so don't be afraid to ask questions. That's how you alleviate doubt. So, all right, next up, let's go to Job 38, verse 4.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We've got little cheater tabs on your Bible.
Hmm.
Sorry, I'm a little rusty on my Roman numerals after 35. Yep.
Job 38:4.
Yes.
This is another one.
Oh. Want us, want somebody to read it?
Not the entire thing, just, you know, the first couple of verses.
I have some questions for you. It says, or let's see. And finally God answered Job from the eye of the violent storm. He said, why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? Pull yourself together, Job. Stand up on your feet. Stand tall. I have some questions for you. I want some straight answers. Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Who decided on its size? Certainly you don't know that. Who came up with the blueprints and the measurements? How was the foundation poured? Who set the cornerstone while the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise? And who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. And then I made a playpen for it. A strong playpen, so it wouldn't run loose. And said, here's your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place. That was a message, of course.
All right.
He gets it.
All right. And
cut down your ego.
Yeah. And sometimes that's exactly what we need. Sometimes when we have ego building up, what we need is to be cut down to size. And, yeah, it hurts. But I also think that that goes on for about two chapters of God getting into ever-increasing detail of, okay, Job, you're such a hot shot. Where were you when I measured out exactly how many water drops it takes for a storm to happen right here? Where were you when I decided how much hot air and cold air it would take for a tornado to form? Where, you know, and he just goes on and gets into more and more detail. You know, where were you when I decided what sparrows would do? Where were, you know, and just keeps going into more and more detail.
So what arrogance do we as little humans have when we disparage whatever the weather is?
It's the perfect weather for that day.
That's exactly right. I mean, can you believe that God knew before the beginning of time where every raindrop was going to fall exactly? That's incredible. Isn't it? And who am I to go, oh man, this sucks today?
Well, and you know, that's kind of an interesting, because sometimes when that sometimes the answer is because God is God, and I am not.
Exactly.
A question came to mind. He said, "Where were you?" I was thinking that was predetermined.
What?
Predetermined.
And, you know, I also think that this passage is also kind of, in a way, a nice, if somewhat rough, on Job, demonstration of how to ask questions. It's, you know, kind of going back to alleviating doubt. You know, it's God just demonstrating, okay, start with the broad stuff and then go into more detail. He's alleviating Job's doubt in God's power. And, you know, I thought that was kind of a pretty, pretty awesome demonstration by God of how to ask questions. So if you ever need a good demonstration of how to ask questions and start out you know, with the broad strokes and then whittle down to detail.
Go to Joe.
And then kind of in return to Romans 9.
I was going to say something about Job too. If that, like, when you're reading the end of that, I mean, Job, unlike his friends, you know, he answers the Lord basically, and he says, I know that you can do everything, Lord, that nothing you purpose to do can ever be withheld. He utters that he understands that he didn't know what he was talking about. He said, I uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. And so he basically says, Lord, you know, I just listen to me say this. He's repenting. I have heard you, Lord, and now my eyes have seen you. And you know what, Lord? Now I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. And the Lord, that's why the Lord restores him. He really hears that he understood who God was when his friends did not.
Yeah.
And he's quick, maybe not that quick to do it, but in the end, he sure does it.
Submission.
And on that note, actually, here is Romans 9, really 19 through 21. Thou wilt then say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And I think that kind of shows itself in the story of Job as well. Kind of like you were saying with, his friends in the contrast versus, you know, between Job and his friends as well. You know, his friends just chomping, saying, oh, and, you know, even his wife, too, you know. His wife just...
Not a great example.
Yeah.
Well, sum it up for us.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why I'm looking back there, but I've got it right there. Here, let me turn around right here. Sounds like they're having a little bit of fun out there. To escape doubt, have faith like a child, and ask questions. Maybe surprised with both the questions and the answers that you find. And questions, the spirits. You know, both those that are of God and those that aren't. And I feel like we skipped something. I don't remember covering to have mercy on those who doubt.
Oh, we get it.
Okay.
Just say it. Confidence. And have mercy on those who doubt.
Yeah.
Because God has mercy on us.
And have mercy on those who doubt. We did skip that verse, but, you know.
It's in there.
Yeah. Everyone doubts, and we all go through it. Everyone doubts every day, every week, with every decision we make. Job is a good example. There's countless stories with that. And even just looking at, examples with your own life, even having mercy on yourself when you're doubting is, you yourself are a good person to have mercy on when you're doubting. To escape ego, gain perspective, where were you when God was forming the earth?
Like the one you have there that says escape ego, know that others struggle. Why do we have to struggle? Why should anybody have to struggle? Just like you say, don't have doubt. We all have doubt. Why doubt? If you wouldn't doubt, things would be so much simpler. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk to God.
Sometimes to escape ego, talk to God. Mm-hmm. And
let's do that.
He has gained a perspective.
Yeah, and be forewarned, he might give you a new perspective.
Finding the balance between not having doubt but still asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Danny.
Well, let's gather around and pray for one another.